On October 31st, 1517, a Roman Catholic monk named Martin Luther took a document which he called 95 Theses Against Indulgences, and he nailed it to the bulletin board on the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, Germany. This was the beginning, only the beginning, but it was a great beginning of the church's return to the Bible alone as God's inspired and infallible word, and to its gospel, its good news of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It comes naturally to our sinful nature to think that since nobody is perfect, all we have to worry about is to do our best to live a decent and moral life, and if we do that, then we will have a good afterlife, or we will cease to exist and it won't matter anyway. All of the religions of the world, they have their differences, but the one thing they have in common is that you must do good works in order to get to heaven. They might disagree on what those good works are, but it comes naturally to fallen man to think that all we need to do is our best. Over the years, I've been with many people on their deathbed, and their loved ones are gathered around. Almost without exception, somebody at some point says, at least they lived a good life. They were a good person. That may be true, but that's not the reason why a person goes to heaven. I've heard many people themselves on their deathbed say, well, I've done my best. And my response is always, isn't it wonderful that we don't have to worry about living a good enough life to get to heaven? Because Jesus lived a good enough life for us, and all we have to do is to believe in him. Isn't it wonderful that salvation is by grace alone? And that's the title of my sermon today. We're going to see that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2. And then in verse 10, salvation produces a life of good works. And those good works are all planned by God, so we can't miss them. First of all, then, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The word grace means an undeserved gift. God's undeserved favor. That's what grace means. A gift, by definition, is something you don't have to work for. If I have to work for a gift, it's not a gift. A gift is something you receive and you say thank you. And the Bible clearly says that salvation is a gift. It's not something we have to work for. There are many churches that refuse to accept the clear teaching of the Bible, so they try to find a different explanation, a different interpretation. They realize you can't deny the Bible says we're saved by grace because that's what it says. But they explain it this way. They say that salvation only begins by grace. God gets us started by grace. He gives us a jump start, if you will. But it's up to us to use that grace to work for eternal life. But nowhere does the Bible teach this. Nowhere does it say that God starts the process of salvation by grace, and then it's up to us to finish the process by our own works so we can make it to heaven. The Bible says that salvation depends on God's grace alone, not our works. Did you notice the past tense there in verse 8? For by grace you have been saved. It's a done deal. You're already saved by grace if you believe in Jesus Christ. That's why it says you've been saved through faith. You don't have to worry about salvation anymore. The gift of salvation is yours, and it comes to you through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said repeatedly, whoever believes in me has everlasting life. The reason why salvation is a gift received by faith in Jesus Christ is because he did everything that was necessary for us to be saved. By his perfect obedience, he earned eternal life for us. When people talk about trying to be good enough to get to heaven, well, you're going to have to be perfect in order to get to heaven. Jesus was perfect in our place. And by his perfect death on the cross, he suffered the eternal penalty of our sins to deliver us from that eternal penalty, which is hell. He did everything for us. All that's left for us to do is to believe, is to receive the gift and say thank you. If there's something else that we have to do, then he really didn't do it all. If you owed the bank $1 million and someone else came along and paid your debt, the only thing that's left for you to do is to believe and say thank you. If you refuse to believe that your debt is fully paid, then you will continue to pay it yourself. if we don't believe Jesus did everything for us, then we will think there's something that we have to do. We have to add to what he did. That is a fatal mistake. That is a damnable error. That is a false gospel. Because what can we add to perfection? Are we going to say that Jesus' death on the cross was imperfect? Are we going to say it wasn't enough? Jesus lived a perfect life, and on the cross he perfectly satisfied the justice of God against our sins. He said, "It is finished." Are we going to add to that? That's blasphemy. What can we add to a perfect atonement? Jesus Christ is not a half-savior. He did not come to show us how we can save ourselves with his help. He came to save us all by himself. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is why he can give us the gift of salvation, because he did everything necessary to purchase that gift. God the Father planned to give us this gift. God the Son purchased this gift by his death on the cross. And God the Holy Spirit delivers this gift to us through faith. Now, you would think if the Lord wants to give us salvation, we would say yes and thank you. But by nature, we're spiritually dead. It just comes naturally to think there's something that we have to do. I can't let you do that. I've got to do something. And notice what it says here in Ephesians 2. It says it in verse 1, and it says it again later on. When we were dead, God made us alive. We're so dead that we can't even receive the gift of eternal life by faith. God has to make us alive and work true faith in our hearts. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And even that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Even the faith to believe in Jesus for salvation is God's gift. Without regeneration, there's no faith. Let me give you a couple of examples elsewhere. John 6:65, Jesus said, "No one can come to me," and that means come to me for salvation. "No one can come to me unless it has been given to him by my Father." Remember the two thieves on the cross? At first, they were both mocking Jesus. At first, they both said, "If you are the Son of God, why don't you get us down from here?" All of a sudden, one thief had a change of heart. Where did that change of heart come from? He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He lived his whole life as a thief, but by grace, he was saved through faith. And where did that faith come from? And why didn't the other thief say, "Hey, wait a minute, I'm going to go to heaven too"? No, because he didn't believe. He didn't believe that Jesus was Lord. He was still saying, "If you are the Son of God, why don't you get us down from here?" Philippians 1, verse 29, "To you it has been granted to believe in him." Faith is not something that we contribute to our salvation. Faith itself is part of God's gift of salvation to us. When Jesus was on earth, lots of different kinds of people heard him speak. And Jesus says, "Who do people think that I am?" Here's what his disciples said. "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some think you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then Jesus turned to his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter was speaking for all true believers when he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And here's what Jesus said in response. "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Even the faith to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, even the faith to believe is a gift. The only reason why you believe is because God has revealed the truth to you. He's convinced you of the truth. He's opened your eyes. Your belief is his gift. How can anyone say that salvation is by works when the Bible says over and over again it's not by works? Here's other passages. Romans 3:28. "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds or the works of the law." Galatians 2:16. "A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." Titus 3:5-6, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus, our Savior." How many times does God have to tell us, "Not by works, not by works, not by works"? Look at the last part of verse 9 of Ephesians 2. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." if salvation were indeed by works, then we would have something to boast about. Can you imagine people boasting on judgment day? Well, I did more good works than you did. That ain't going to happen. Romans 4, verse 2. If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That and that alone is the gospel. And the Bible is very clear. Whoever preaches any other gospel than this gospel, let him be accursed. Galatians 1, verse 9. Our second main point is in verse 10 of Ephesians 2. Salvation produces a life of good works. And those good works are all planned by God. Sometimes we stop right here and we don't realize that grace makes good works possible. We're always prone to extremes, and Satan is always trying to drive us to extremes. So, if he can't drive us to the extreme that salvation is by works, then guess what he will do? He'll drive us to the other extreme and say, well, good works are not necessary at all. But look at verse 10 of Ephesians 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Notice what the Bible clearly says. We're not saved by works. We're saved for works, for good works. Prior to salvation, we are spiritually dead and incapable of doing anything good in God's eyes. So prior to salvation, prior to regeneration, all of our works are bad. As Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 18, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. This is why we cannot be saved by our works. They're all bad. We first of all have to be saved by grace, by God's regenerating grace, and then by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do good works. So the Lord has to make the bad tree good so that the good tree can now bear good fruit. This is what Paul says in verse 10. Look at it again. For we are his workmanship. God does not forsake the works of his own hands. We are the product of his grace. He is the potter. We are the clay. He has made us Christians. Nobody is born a Christian. God has to make us Christians or we will stay unregenerate. For we are his workmanship. Look at the next word. Created in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Created in. That means created in union with Jesus Christ. When God makes us spiritually alive, he creates faith within us, which unites us spiritually to Christ himself in heaven at the right hand of God. Faith is the empty hand that reaches out and grabs a hold of Jesus Christ for salvation. This is why all believers together, collectively, from the beginning to the end of the world, this is why all believers are called the body of Christ, because we are all spiritually united to him. His resurrection life flows from him to our souls by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The same power that created the universe created in us a new heart, a spiritually alive heart. We are a new creation, the Bible says. You've heard the verse, I'm sure. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. By his Holy Spirit, we now have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. As our beloved Heidelberg Catechism says, wherefore by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live unto him. So true believers, according to Mark 4, verse 20, true believers are those who hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit. Our good works are not perfectly good, but the unbeliever has no good works at all. And even though our best works are still defiled with sin, and they are, the Holy Spirit cleanses us from all defilement. And guess what? In Christ, all the impurity and defilement of our sins is gone. And good does remain. We do have good works. And wonder of all wonders, God is actually going to reward our good works one day. I like this quote from the first book of Christian doctrine. If we truly believe in Christ and love him for his saving mercy, we will also study the word of God carefully and prayerfully so that we may know what our Lord and Master wants us to do. if we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, then we will do those good works that he's planned for us to do. And the only way for us to know what those good works are is to find out by studying his word. Salvation produces a life of good works. And here's the comfort. All these good works have been planned by God. Look at verse 10. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has everything planned out before him. Our whole life, every good work we will ever do as Christians has already been planned by God. This means that when we do good works, when we find ourselves doing what the Bible says, isn't that a gift? Don't you just stop and say, well, thank you, Lord, that I had that good thought. Thank you, Lord, that I have this good desire. Thank you, Lord, that you put me in a position where I could actually do that. You get all the glory. We have nothing to boast about when we do good works. We give God all the glory and all the credit. And here's the comfort. We cannot miss the good works that God has prepared for us to walk in. If he planned those good works, you think we're going to miss his plan? Sometimes we struggle with that thought. I'm missing out. I should be doing something right now that I'm not doing. But what am I missing? Sometimes we struggle with a lack of contentment because we see what other people might be experiencing and we feel like we might be missing out. We fear our devotions are not what they should be. Our relationships are not what they should be. Something else is not what it should be. And so we live under this heavy burden of thinking that somehow we are missing God's plan for our life. And so what a comfort this verse is, Ephesians 2, verse 10. We have to remember that God has already planned our whole life from birth to death. I love the words of the Lord when he finally spoke to Job. He said, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? I call that spiritual shock treatment. You and I need to be reminded that once we were non-existent and once we were a little baby, sometimes we wonder, where is God? Well, God says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? I'm still here. Where were you? I remember times in my life where I was wandering, didn't know what I was going to do. And God brought to my mind the story of Jonah. And what a comfort that is. If God has planned for you to go to Nineveh, you're going to Nineveh. And so I just meditated on that. I thought, okay, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. If you could get a disobedient servant where you want him. Because Jonah tried to miss God's will. Jonah knew where God wanted him to go. And I said, okay, Lord, if you can get a disobedient servant where you want him, you can get me where you want me, because I don't even know where it is. God has planned the good works, and we will walk in them. And we need to understand that God has also planned our struggles. This is part of how we learn to trust him. This is part of how we learn to be content. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. The Apostle Paul had to learn that. He was a very active man. How difficult it was for him to be in prison, chained to two Roman guards. But in prison, he gave us some of the epistles of Holy Scripture. This is not an excuse to be passive or careless or irresponsible. Of course not. We're called to be zealous for good works. And the Holy Spirit is always present to help us and to encourage us and to keep his finger on that very thing that we need to be focused on. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, Paul said that he worked harder than all the other apostles. Paul was simply stating the objective truth there. He wasn't boasting. He said, I have worked harder than all the other apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. We are saved by grace from start to finish. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, verse 2. And Philippians 1, verse 6. He who began a good work in you. Notice that. God began the good work in us. It wasn't there before. He began a good work. He who began a good work in you will complete it. Salvation is by grace alone from start to finish. So do we believe in grace? Grace will get us through whatever trouble we're facing right now. In our individual lives, as a church, perhaps, as families, as a country. God's grace will see us through. That's a promise. God's grace will perfect all those things that concern us. God's grace will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. God's grace will get us through whatever darkness we're facing in our lives. We just sang these words. Do we believe them? Grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And God gets all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, we praise you for your glorious grace, which was given to us in Christ even before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before you in love. And one day that will be perfectly fulfilled. And we thank you. You see it right now. You see that day as if it were already present. And we're thankful that no one or no thing can take that from us. Nothing can separate us from your grace and from your love. So I pray for every person here today that they will know that, believe that, and then live their lives with complete confidence and trust in your love and grace. For Jesus' sake, amen.